WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Paul Mazursky had planned on becoming an actor. He got his start playing a major role in Stanley Kubrick's first film, Fear and Desire. But Mazursky became best known for directing such films as Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, Next Stop Greenwich Village, Harry and Tonto, An Unmarried Woman, and Down and Out in Beverly Hills. His latest film, made for HBO, starred Stanley Tucci as gossip columnist Walter Winchell. Mazursky has written a new memoir called Show Me the Magic. His descriptions of his mother sound very much like the overbearing, neurotic mother portrayed by Shelley Winters in Mazursky's film Next Stop Greenwich Village. I asked him to describe his mother.
In the book, I call her Gypsy Jean. And amazingly, when Shelley Winters played this mother in Next Stop Greenwich Village, she had an uncanny insight into my mother, who had already died. Shelley asked me, for example, he said, did your mother type? Was she a great typist? I said, oh, how did you know that? She said, I just did. Did she take you to the movies all the time? How did you know? I just did. So Shelley had some great instincts about her, and I love Shelley and still do, and I thought she did a great job. My mother was a very unique woman. I describe her, as I said, as Gypsy Jean. She was a lower middle class Jewish lady from Brownsville, and she was not whatever cliche you might think that is. She loved opera. She loved great literature. She loved black jazz music, and she loved foreign films, and she took her son, this little boy, me, to all those things. She also was very possessive. I was the only child. And so I had a very up-and-down relationship with her, Gypsy Jean.
So she took you to the movies a lot. Did you and she respond to different things in the movies?
Well, you know, when I say she took me to the movies, I mean she took me when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. I would cut school. She said, it's okay. I'll write him a note. You had a cold. And she'd load herself up with candy. She loved to eat candy. And so did I, and so do I. And we'd go to see, Les Enfants du Paradis up at the Thalia Theater with other great French films, you know, with Gérard Philippe and Louis Jouvet, directed by Jean Renoir and all the greats. And I liked it, but I really didn't know that, oh boy, am I seeing fine art. I was just sort of seeing movies. So our tastes, maybe they were kind of alike, well, you know, but later when she was alive to see my first two films. The first was Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, and they played it at the New York Film, Festival. And I took my mother, and of course my wife too, and Mayor Lindsay was there, and Natalie Wood and Elliot, all of them were there. Elliot Gould, Diane Cannon, Bob Culp. And my mother's first lines to me were, don't let it go to your head, big shot. That's the first thing she said. And then when she saw Alex in Wonderland with Donald Sutherland, Jean Moreau, Fellini, and an actress named Viola Spolin played the equivalent of my mother. My mother called me and she said, I saw your picture, it stinks, and I'm suing and I'm going to picket the theater. Why couldn't you get Betty Davis to play me? So my mother was far out. I mean, I got scared. I beg you, Mom. Please don't pick it.
What impact did it have on you when she said things like, don't let it go to your head, big shot?
Well, part of me kind of liked it because it was so lacking in sentimentality. But I knew she had a great deal of love for me. And, you know, the overriding emotion I had with my mother, and I'm very frank about this, I was afraid of her.
And you said that she was depressive and that you think her life could have been changed with Prozac. Did her depressions affect you?
Yeah. She'd get very dark, real, real dark. And then she'd get paranoid. And paranoia often, in my humble opinion, paranoid suspect the truth. You don't want me out here, do you? She would say. And I really didn't. So she knew the truth. I'd be ambivalent, at least.
But then you'd have to lie and say, of course I want you here, right?
Well, I would say, yeah, yeah. But she was... It's very hard to totally explain it, but I think you're getting the point.
Now
she was not an easy woman to live with, to be around, but she had a life force and a love for art and beauty that made her very strange and very different.
If you're just joining us, my guest is screenwriter, director, and actor Paul Mazursky. He has a new memoir called Show Me the Magic. One of your early roles was in the movie Blackboard Jungle, where Glenn Ford plays a new teacher at a school filled with hoods, and you're one of the hoods. Did you think you looked like a juvenile delinquent when you got the part?
I didn't really, but I try to make it seem so. In order to get the part, I tested for it at MGM in New York. I was living in New York, of course. And, you know, I know how to talk like those guys from Brownsville, you know, and I slicked my hair back and I wore like a club jacket, you know, and every other word was, hey, what are you talking about? Come on, what do you want? And all that stuff, you know. And I got the part. And compared to the L.A. kids who filled out the cast, see, they took from New York, Sidney Poitier, Vic Morrow, Rafael Campos, Danny Terranova, and Paul Mazursky. And we looked pretty tough. The kids, the rest of them looked like surfers, you know. But I got stuck in playing a lot of parts like that, see, which I didn't want to do.
You write in your book that, you know, after you were typecast for a while, as you know, like the hood and stuff, that you were frustrated you never got the kind of roles that Cassavetes, your friend John Cassavetes, got. Mm-hmm. Tough, romantic, leading man, or the young guy with the problems of the world on his existential shoulders. It's funny, compare the kind of roles that you were getting cast with as a very young man with the kind of roles that you've gotten as a mature man. I mean, I think now you're more likely to get cast as the gynecologist.
You saw that?
Yeah, it seems from The Class Struggle.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
aren't you a gynecologist in that?
No, I play Jackie Bissett's husband.
But isn't he a gynecologist, or am I remembering wrong?
No, I think he was a furrier. I'm not 100%
sure. Okay. Well, furrier,
but
gynecologist.
Playing Jackie Bissett's husband is, I would do it free. She has purple eyes, the biggest eyes I've ever seen. She's a beautiful woman and very funny, very nice. Well, the parts I was getting were punks, you know, the kind who would be licking an ice cream cone with a knife in one hand, threatening somebody. Hey, yo, wow. I mean, a lot of that, I got bored with it. The parts I get now, well, I'm getting parts of older stuff, you know, guys in their 50s and 60s. And I've had four or five wonderful parts. A few in my own movies, you know, I cast myself. In Enemies of Love Story, I play Leon Tortschiner, who's Lena Olin's husband. And that's a good part. I had a good part lately in 2 Days in the Valley, where I play a television director who's living in a lot of failure and decides to kill himself. It's very touching and amusing. But I wasn't getting those parts. Then you see, you get cast mostly for what they think you look like. And since I was in Blackboard Jungle, where I played a tough kid, let's say, I got cast like that.
My guest is Paul Mazursky. He's written a new memoir called Show Me the Magic. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Paul Mazursky. He's best known for directing such films as Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, Harry and Tonto, Next Stop Greenwich Village, An Unmarried Woman, and Down and Out in Beverly Hills. One of your early films, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, is about two suburban couples who decide to try switching partners, and they're kind of ambivalent about the whole thing. You say in your book that this was inspired in part by your encounter group sessions at Esalen. Tell me about the connection between the encounter group and the movie.
Well, first let me tell you that I was reading Time magazine in 1968. There was a picture in Time of a psychologist named Fritz Perls, P-E-R-L-S, and he was sitting in a hot tub with six naked people. And it said, a new kind of therapy. So I told my wife, we got to go up and experience this new kind of therapy. Maybe there's a movie in it. And we went up and had a 48-hour sort of encounter, and we took the nude hot tubs, and it was all, you know, very trendy, but felt good. It's a lot of fun for a while, and then in the actual encounters, we were the only couple, and they started to pick on me, on Paul Mazursky. I controlled my wife. I didn't let her breathe. She started to cry, and it got very intense. And out of that, I wrote the opening 20 or 30 pages of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. And then it's all fiction after that. I changed it to this couple that's experienced this wonderful feeling of elation and freedom and openness, and their best friends who are, you know, squarer and looked down upon, that sort of thing. They tell them the good news that they're so open now that they can handle the fact that Bob has had an affair in San Francisco and Carol is so happy for him. And that creates a situation which eventually builds towards both couples deciding to try to have an orgy.
You write that you've tested the waters of many of the New Age trips and the psychedelics and the gurus and participated in marathon weekends with Sufis, but you still basically distrust it all. Why have you tried so much of that if you basically distrust it?
What a brilliant question. If only I could give you a brilliant Sufi answer. I believe that even if I scoff at stuff, you know, I want to know more about it. What attracts people to it? I've been with a Hopi Indian medicine man. I've taken ayahuasca in the Peruvian jungles. Fantastic. I've had LSD. I've been to synagogues. I've been to Catholic churches. I've had therapy. I had decaf coffee today, which is almost stronger than anything.
You're a little decaf high?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to whirling dervish Sufi things. I've even gone to a few things with the Deepak Chopra type guys and all that stuff. I want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I haven't found an answer yet, and nor do I expect to.
You were born with the name Irwin, and you remained Irwin until you made your first film with Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
The film Fear and Desire, in which you were an actor. What did you want to change your name from Irwin to something else? What did Irwin mean to you?
Well, there was this, first of all, there was the sound. My mother used to, you know, in Brooklyn in those days, your mother would come out of the apartment and shout down the block, because everything we did was on the block. We played punch ball on the block, tag, ring alivio, whatever games we played. Irwin! Irwin, it's time to eat! And I hated the name Irwin. I couldn't stand it. And I just developed this phobia for Irwin. And as soon as I got to college, I started thinking about, because I was acting in plays in Brooklyn College, maybe I should change it to, my name was Irwin Lawrence Mazursky to Larry Irwin. I didn't mind Irwin as a last name. or Larry Mazursky. What about Michael Irwin, which I'd actually tried for one play. What about Bart? I thought about Bart, but that's a cowboy name. What about Johnny? Johnny Baramazursky. I just didn't know what to do, and kept being confused by it. Then I got into Stanley Kubrick's picture, Fear and Desire, and my would-be wife called me on the phone. I was working in the Catskills, and she says, look, Kubrick is putting the finishing touches on the movie. He's putting in the title cards. Do you want to use Irwin Mazursky? I said no. And I was at a payphone up in somewhere in the Catskills. And we started pitching names. And I said, and her father's name is Bill Purdy. I said, what about Bill Purdy? She said, what has that got to do with you? And finally, I said, I'm keeping Mazursky. I just made that decision. I'm keeping. And she said, well, what about Paul? I said, Paul Mazursky. And the operator said, your 3 minutes are up. And the line went dead. And that's how I got my name.
It's funny because I think a lot of people would have changed the Mazursky because that's the really ethnic sound.
Well, that's
part.
The joke. You know, mm-hmm. there's the great joke. I don't know what I can say on television. I'll say it. If you don't like it, we'll wipe it out. Is a guy goes up. He says, Judge, my name is Peter Schmuck and I want to change my name. He said, yes, so what do you want to call yourself? He says, Jack Schmuck.
All right. Well, did everyone call you Paul after that?
Everyone but my mother.
You remained
Irwin.
Yet another reason to keep her off the set, right?
Well, love, hate. Irwin, that's my son, the big shot. You know, his real name is Irwin. Ms. Moreau. She met Jean Moreau. I love your movies. Love them. I loved you in Jules and Jim. I loved you in Fire Down Below, whatever they were called. And this is my son. He calls himself Paul. Big shot.
Paul Mazursky, his new memoir is called Show Me the Magic.